For the last few weeks, millions of sockeye smolt have been leaving the major lakes in the Bristol Bay region headed for the saltwater. They will be back in a couple of years as the adult sockeye that power the bay's massive commercial fishery. For the last 6 years, a project has been ongoing on the Quijack River to count the migrating smolt in an effort to better document the health and the productivity of the Iliamna Lake system. As part of that project, a small team of technicians go out every night at this time of year and collect a sample of 600 smolt from a location about 2 miles downriver from the lake. Some of the technicians work for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, while others work for BBEDC's Bristol Bay Science and Research Institute. Both are partnering on the project. The technicians use a small pontoon raft with what looks like a sluice box in the center. When the darkness hits, they drop the apparatus into the Quijack River and start collecting smolt. They are collected in intervals in an attempt to get samples from different segments of the overall biomass. Every 5 minutes, about 100 smolt are dipped out of the collection box and dumped into a 5-gallon bucket. This is done 6 times to make up the sample that is then taken back to the Fish and Game bunkhouse in Igiagig, where the technicians collect genetic and scale samples, along with taking length measurements that allow them to determine if the smolt spent 1 or 2 years in the lake. Michael Link has been spearheading the reemergence of the smolt counting projects in Bristol Bay. He works for the Bristol Bay Science and Research Institute and LGL Alaska Research Associates. He says the practice of collecting samples at time intervals is done so that it's possible to estimate the composition from the different drainages in the lake system.
So there's about 90 stocks that individually breeding genetically identifiable stocks in Iliamna and Lake Clark. And so Fish and Game and BBSRI submitted a proposal to see if we could estimate the relative production from the different drainages. And just like at Port Moeller, except you're down into the within basin identification, so how many come from, there's a drainage here called the Copper River, there's Lake Clark, there's several stocks up there, and they're trying to estimate the composition of the smolt run. The beach spawners in the lake, so the lake, a lot of the fish are composed of the beach spawners, they're trying to look at the relative production of these different spawning stocks and whether they contribute proportionately or disproportionately to the smolt run.
The Bristol Bay sockeye run is among the most documented salmon runs on Earth, but there are some very large holes in the data, including estimates of how many smolt leave the various river systems in the spring. Michael Link says combining the smolt data with the data collected annually by ADF&G can provide a much clearer picture of the health and the productivity of the Quijack River's sockeye run. However, he says the sampling is necessary to determine if the age of the smolt includes spending 1 or 2 years in the freshwater environment. General wisdom is that the longer a fish spends in the freshwater, the greater chance of surviving once they hit the marine environment. Again, Michael Link with BBSRI.
Fish of bigger, of larger size, even if they're the same age but they're larger, tend to have higher survival. They can survive fast periods of fasting or no food if they enter the north, if they enter the Bering Sea, and they don't encounter a lot of food. The bigger they are, the longer they're going to last between feeding events, etc. So they just in general have an aggregate higher survival rate, and it might vary from 5 to 15%. So 1 in 20 fish survives, or 1 in 7 fish survives across the sizes you see in the buckets here. So the bigger fish, you might get as high as 10 or 15% survival. The really small ones, 3 to 5% survival. But of course, to stay another year in fresh water, you're subjecting yourself to adverse conditions there, right? These fish, you got to get to sea and grow really fast and big. And so there's a trade-off. You stick around another year, you might not make it. You might be eaten by some birds or some seals or some sea otters or river otters. And there's always a trade-off on where you should spend your time, evolutionarily.
Documenting the outmigration of smolt in any river in Bristol Bay can be very challenging, with limitations in the effectiveness of the sonar technology and the inherent challenges of trying to conduct a project in such a remote location. Link says the effort is especially difficult in a river like the Quijack, where things are very dynamic.
The Quijack is a fairly compressed smolt run, probably the most compressed. And they have a lot of predators in the river on their downward migration. And they also have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of belugas that are feeding on them at the mouth. And so it's probably an adaptation to get out in en masse, safety in numbers, and get through and get out into the open ocean.
Once the 600 smolt samples from the different schools of fish are collected, the technicians then return the sampling raft to the shoreline, and they head back to Igiagik, where they will spend the next few overnight hours collecting the genetic and the other data that is used to analyze the Kwajalein River smolt run. Corey Graham is one of the technicians working on the project. Among his responsibilities is to collect the data from the sonar counters. Graham showed off a visual representation of the balls of smolt that pass over the sonar modules.
This is kind of what we're looking for. This is just the echogram, the output from the sonar. So this file is an hour, so you can just kind of scroll through. And you see sometimes there's a bunch of smolt balls, sometimes you won't see anything. And this is just from one pod. So we have on this site, we have four pods or this array. And then sometimes you'll get wakes and you can usually tell from the surface will be disturbed and then it looks kind of different. Sometimes wind will show up.
The amount of data collected as part of the project is quite large, with about 24 gigabytes a day of data that must be downloaded from battery-powered servers located in a tent on the shore, just up from where the sonar modules are placed in the Kwajalein River. Michael Link notes that they have to use the technology to extrapolate how many smolt are within the smolt balls that are recorded traveling downriver during the two major pulses of smolt that occur over about a 14-day period in late May and early June.
The sound wave hits the bladder, comes back, and so all that is in a digital form, and you can actually analyze it more than just this visual way, right? So you get those the density of the school will change, it'll be portrayed on this screen as a different color. The file, you can actually figure out the total energy that's come back from that school, and you know the energy that comes off one fish. Right? You're not echo counting. Echo counting, you go one fish, two fish, three fish, which you do with adult fish. Here, you're just taking that total energy because they're so close together, you can't distinguish individuals. You can see some individuals in the echogram, but when they're like that, you can't count individuals. So you use a different technique to analyze those data, but it's a rich data stream.
The sonar technology used to count the smolt in the Kwajalein River was specifically designed for use in Bristol Bay. Instead of looking across the river, the sonar modules are placed on the bottom and they look up through the water column. Chris Seawright works for the Division of Commercial Fisheries, and he checks the sonar arrays every day to make sure they are upright and working. Seawright says the first of the two sonar arrays is placed about a mile downriver in a location where the water doesn't swirl as much as other locations in the Kwajalein River.
You get the boils in the water, so when you have that up, you know, farther up locations where the current is stronger, it pretty much makes a lot of noise and, you know, air bubbles and stuff on the sonar. So down here, there's not as many, and you're able to see the smolt schools better when they go down.
The two sonar arrays in the Kwajalein River were put in on May 19th, and Seawright says they will be pulled about June 13th or 14th. After that, all of the data will be taken to Anchorage, where researchers with ADF&G, BBSRI, and LGL Alaska Research Associates will analyze it and prepare a report on the 2013 project. That report will likely come out sometime early next year. Last year, the total sockeye salmon smolt abundance was estimated at just over 49 million at the first sonar site and 47 million at the second site. It's estimated that only 1 in 10 to 1 in 20 smolt actually survived to return as adult sockeye. Last year's Iliamna Lake smolt will likely come back next year or in 2015 for the three ocean fish. Counting smolt in Bristol Bay is nothing new, with projects dating back to the 1960s, but by 2002, all of the projects run by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game were discontinued. Because smolt counts provide a wealth of information about survival in the freshwater environment, a renewed effort was started, and the first digitally-based sonar system was tested in the Kwajalein River in 2008. Since that time, the smolt counting effort has been expanded to the Ugashik and Igigik Rivers. BBSRI's Michael Link says using smolt counts to inform preseason forecasts takes time and a consistent data set.
And we're just now entering into a period where we're going to begin to compare smolt abundance to adult return. So this is the sixth season, so we've had five annual estimates off of here. So there's only been a couple years where we've had out returns. You need a time series or a relationship between smolt run and subsequent return to start to use it for forecasting. So that'll probably come online over the next, you know, from now to, you know, from now forward, we'll start to know that if half as many smolts went out, maybe the run's going to be a bit smaller. And so we're just establishing that now. And that's one of the problems with smolt projects. The real value doesn't occur until year six and onward. And so it's a big investment up front to develop the time series. And you need a bit of staying power, financial support to keep it going for a while. And we're now entering that point with this thing. We've seen some interannual variability. We've seen some pretty good interannual variability, even though the escapements varied a bit. And so it's informative.
The smolt counting projects in Bristol Bay are funded by BBSRI, the City of Pilot Point, the Pilot Point Tribal Council, the Alaska Sustainable Salmon Fund, and BBSRI's benefactors, which include Alaskan Leader, Bristol Leader, Arctic Fjord, and Arctic Storm. This year's smolt run out of Iliamna Lake come from the 2010 and 2011 sockeye runs to the Quijack River, and the majority of this year's smolt will come back to the river in 2015 as two ocean fish. A much smaller percentage will return to the river in 2016 as three ocean fish. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.